next presenter, the title of next presentation is Methane and Acetylene Pore Gas Mixture Influence on Water Infiltration. Dr. Lyle Prumty is presenting from North Dakota State University.
Good afternoon. Methane is a pore, is a greenhouse gas, we're all told. Acetylene, I don't know if that's a greenhouse gas or not. Infiltration is a soil process. So my topic involves a greenhouse gas, it involves soil, but it doesn't really address emission of a greenhouse gas from soil, which is the topic of this session. Nevertheless, I hope you'll bear with me. It turns out that various studies in the past have found differences in infiltration, rate of infiltration of water into soil, depending on the gas present in the soil pore space prior to infiltration. These all previous studies were all done with carbon dioxide, ranging back to 1946 up till 1988. At least one of these studies found that with pure carbon dioxide in the soil pore space, infiltration rate was as much as 10 times as great as with air in the soil pore space. Consequently, we followed up on that with a couple of other studies more recently using a variety of gases as well as different pressures in the soil atmosphere. Gases that we've used in our previous work have been air, reduced air pressure, or in other words, a vacuum, carbon dioxide, helium, methane, acetylene, hydrogen sulfide, ammonia, oxygen, and propane. The hypothesis advanced for the increased infiltration with carbon dioxide was that carbon dioxide is highly soluble in water. And so we look at the solubility of these other gases and see how they compare and with themselves and also with the results that we'll show in a minute. The solubility values are in micromoles of gas per mole of water. And the lowest solubility is associated with helium. Normal components of air, nitrogen and oxygen, are relatively low on this scale, being about 15 or so probably for the combination. Carbon dioxide, 614. Methane, 25. And acetylene, 761, ranging all the way up to ammonia at 500,000. I'll review quickly a few of the results from previous work. Gases 1, 2, and 3 here are helium, air, and methane. These have an infiltration rate obviously less than the other gases. On the right, gases 4, 5, and 6 are acetylene, carbon dioxide, and hydrogen sulfide. So there's about a double difference there as far as infiltration rate. HECLA's a loamy fine sand soil. Some other gases with the same soil, helium, air, and methane, relatively low rates. acetylene, high rate, and propane, about the same as the other low solubility gases. I got Glendon, a loam soil. Again, the low solubility gases, air, oxygen, and methane on the left, 1, 2, and 3, relatively low infiltration rates, as much as 3 times as high for the other gases, which are acetylene, carbon dioxide, ammonia, and the final one on the right, number 7, is vacuum. So our objective for the work that I'm reporting today is to determine the functional relationship between gas solubility in water and infiltration rate under the following conditions. The gas is at atmospheric pressure, the infiltration is ponded falling head infiltration experiment, and the gas mixtures consist of various proportions of methane and acetylene. Materials used, Hecla loamy fine sand, 67% sand, 25% silt, 8% clay. Glendon loam, 52% sand, 29% silt, 19% clay. And we also used an aluminum oxide rod to have a material that has a fixed pore space and eliminate some of the column packing problems. I'll talk more about that later. Infiltration procedure was a falling head ponded infiltration with a water reservoir and a soil column of equal diameter. The soil was flooded with the gas mixtures prior to the infiltration experiments, and the infiltration water that we used was degassed. In the case of the soils, it also contained 0.005 molar calcium sulfate. For the rods, it was deionized water. This is a disassembled view of our infiltration apparatus for the soil. We used a clear PVC pipes on the bottom and the top. Soil was packed in the bottom pipe. The top pipe was the reservoir for the water. These were screwed in then to the pipe coupling and the sheet metal gate inserted between. A small gap was left at first while we flooded the soil in the bottom with gas by from bottom to top. Then the gate was inserted all the way, put water in the tube above. At time t equals zero, extracted the gate, and then keep track of the level of water above the soil to keep track of the infiltration. So some more about the soil column experimental procedure. The columns were packed in groups of three for statistical blocks. And within each group, the gas used was randomly selected. And so the three gas compositions for this part were pure methane, pure acetylene, and then an equal molar mixture of the two. And the infiltration rate for this part of the experiment was evaluated after 4.5 centimeters of cumulative infiltration. In addition, the soil column results were, the data were handled in the following way. They're normalized by adjusting within the blocks for air permeability as measured in the air-dry soil, because we found this helped reduce the variability of the results. And we also adjusted the blocks to the same average infiltration rate. Results for the Glendon soil were look like this. Obviously, there's a relationship here between pure methane on the left and pure acetylene on the right, and the 50-50 mixture in the middle. Quite a bit of scatter in some sense. You couldn't really probably do a highly significant, eliminate anything other than linear dependence on this to a highly significant degree. With the Hecla soil, we had similar results. The data I presented so far, we did over a period of time, and then we kind of left this kind of work and came back and tried the same experiment later and ran into one of those things that kind of makes you tear your hair out. Namely, the next repetitions that we tried with Hecla soil produced this kind of result. We went back and checked all our procedures, the gas mixing and everything else, and did things a little more carefully. Not sure what the problem was that caused that last data, but again, we came back to the kind of results we were getting initially. Again, this looks quite linear, where we're just plotting infiltration rate versus a mole fraction of acetylene. However, the problems of packing columns and so forth led us to look into using a material, porous material with a fixed pore space, hopefully eliminating some of the variability. These are aluminum oxide rods. They're basically sold as files. And so they're 25 millimeters in diameter, 152 millimeters long. They came impregnated with oil, so we had to heat these in a muffle furnace to get the oil out of them to start with. We used Teflon heat shrink tubing to make the rods into infiltration columns. And in this case, we used elapsed time to reach a fixed depth of infiltration rather than infiltration rate as the experimental variable. They're used in two configurations, as you'll see in the following slides. This shows the file rod on the file rod over here, encased in heat shrinkable Teflon tubing. Down here we have a test tube attached to the end. Again, we used the heat shrinkable Teflon tubing to attach that along with a wire clamp. The way the experiment was conducted with this material is we would pass the gas of interest through this drying column. The gas would then pass through the file rod column. Initially, there was no water in this test tube, and so the dry gas passed through the test tube would use at least 10 pore volumes of gas, so that the gas in the test file rod pore space was the pure gas that we were interested in. Then there's a small hole in the test tube here. We would insert water into that at time t equals zero then, which followed only a few seconds after we put the water in there. We would rotate this to a vertical position and then simply record the depth of water over time to quantify the infiltration. We also used the gated apparatus, very similar to what we used with the soils, and you see that here. You see the water ponded in the upper part of the tube, so this apparatus is ready to go. The gate is inserted here between the water and the file rod at time t equals zero. We yank this gate out, and water then infiltrates into the rod. For the file rod results, we had data from five gas mixtures. We used four rods. There's 20 data points, and the order of the gas mixture used for each rod was randomized. Where T is the infiltration time, the values of the log of time were regressed against the gas fraction for each rod. Those regression results were used to create from the log of time values a transformed variable shown in the following results. As I mentioned here, we have five different mole fractions of acetylene, 0.25, 0.5, 0.75, and 1. And the data handled in the previous manner show, I think, fairly clearly a linear relationship here. Statistically, we handled this in the following way, or tried to get a number on the statistics. We used polynomial regression on each of the results individually from the rods, namely a linear and quadratic effect here. Then we took the quadratic coefficient estimates, which turned out to be, as you see, did univariate statistics on those and found the probability of a greater T to be 0.71, indicating we feel quite strongly that this model we used is highly significant and probably the correct functional relationship for infiltration versus the gas type. More importantly, infiltration versus solubility of the gas, since solubility goes linearly as the mole fraction of gas in this case. So our conclusion is the best overall model for predicting infiltration as a function of overall solubility is the log of the infiltration rate is linear in solubility. There are some remaining questions here, and I think a lot of things that can be done yet with this type of research. Questions include, one, is the gas mixture solubility the same as pure gas solubility? In other words, if you have a series of pure gases that cover the same range of solubility as a computed solubility between two gases that you mix together, do you get those same results, or do you get something different with a pure gas than with a mixture of two gases that have widely different solubilities? Temperature effect is always something to be looked at further. What's the effect of subatmospheric pressure? We did a little bit of that with the vacuum data that I talked about initially. What's the effect of superatmospheric pressure on highly, you know, pressurized systems above atmospheric? Maybe something somewhat different might happen. And finally, what quantitative theory could be developed to account for these results? I'm not aware of anybody that's done work in the past on that would address this question for instance, is the rate of solution of the gas into the water? Is that a first order relationship or something of that nature? And so I think there's quite a bit of work that can be done on that, and possibly some basic knowledge that can be obtained on the nature of the infiltration process by looking at these different gases versus infiltration. Thank you.
I'll take one question from the floor. Yes.
Yeah. New soil studies, if you measure the moisture content in your core, was it the same moisture content or not?